रहे हैं डकार।
हेलो, आई एम गीतांजलि, होस्ट ऑफ दिस फूड पॉडकास्ट डकार। सो आई हैव दिस पैटर्न ऑफ स्क्रोलिंग थ्रू माई इंस्टाग्राम फीड्स एंड स्टोरीज एज सून एज माई आईज अनलॉक। इट्स लाइक आई एम ऑन एन ऑटो पायलट मोड एंड आई एम एमलेसली लाइकिंग फूड पिक्चर्स सिंस माई डे स्टार्ट्स टिल इट एंड्स, ओनली इफ दैट वॉज कंसिडर्ड एज अ फुल टाइम प्रोफेशन। Some of these foodstagrammers, as we call them, inspire while some make me drool. A lot of my friends who aren't relatively closer to anyone from the food industry find it very, very fascinating to know how someone can get paid to eat or click food pictures on Instagram. Like, really? Urban Dictionary defines foodstagram as a snapshot of a food moment posted on Instagram, usually intended to make others jealous about the current libations one is consuming or has prepared. Such true intentions, I say. But not everything is cheap as chips, and not every person taking food pictures is a blogger. But traditionally, dekha jaye to food has held a type of representation within our society where it brings people together to celebrate. Isliye hum saath baithkar khana khate hain, isn't it? Now think in a positive way. With so many food enthusiasts on social media, aren't we doing the same in a techie way? So to get more into this, I will be joined by Nikhil Merchant on my segment, who is, well, everything to do with food.
Mic check, 1, 2.
Pet Pooja, Kyan Bhandar.
Welcome on the show, Nikhil. We have seen you mixing drinks at a pop-up one weekend and wearing chef's apron in a farmer's market on another, or chilling at a restaurant's opening the same night. Are you like the BBC update of the food industry?
Hey Gitanjali, thank you for having me on your show. Yes, you are right actually. I do don several hats, or in my case, should I say talks, about me being the BBC update of food industry. That's interesting. I don't know how where you get that from. It's funny. No, but I do have a very strong digital presence now. I think the world is going digital. Instances when I started off with print, and I still do a lot of print articles. That's still my first love. I do more food trends than reviews. I barely indulge in that. But having said that, because I've been trend focused and people focused and behind the scenes focused, it gives a very pragmatic and yet a very different perspective of what people view the food industry as. It's not all fun and games and, you know, caviar and champagne, which comes out all the time, and you only see the final element which comes out of it. And because I go so deep into the process of the food industry and how it's technologically sound, and, you know, how it's kind of advanced over the past decade, you always are surrounded by people who love food or eat food for the heck of it, or just live to eat or love to eat or whatever. So gives a very all-rounded view, and I like sharing it on my platform. And I feel the digital space is extremely vibrant and extremely responsive. I'm constantly putting, you know, my hands into everything at the same time.
We see food circle in our city is expanding with every passing day. Like yesterday only, I read about food Oscars in Bombay Times. So what exciting is happening in the Mumbai food circuit, I may ask?
Well, I think the Mumbai food circuit is kind of growing in its own pace. It's not there where I expected it to be, since, you know, I mentioned that I've been in the space for quite long now, and I've been seeing how food trends have shaped up. There's just one thing which I'm kind of concerned about. There has been a sporadic opening and closing of restaurants in the past many years, which I think is observed by everyone. Everybody talks about this whole circuit being, oh, I heard about this restaurant, why is it shut down? Did the owners not do well? Or are they not making money, etc., etc.? If a person is into the food business for the money, it's going to be really, really hard to actually believe that. Because A, yes, passion plays an important part. Business does play a very important part, because in the end, you have to make money. But you have to realize that there's a lot which goes into the hospitality industry, and especially when running a restaurant. Some of the stalwarts out there have been doing it the right way. You know, they've got the right funding to sustain themselves. Having said that, a lot of these new age restaurateurs, you know, who do it more for the glamour or for, you know, be having that tag of owning one, and I've come across a lot of them, especially being in the consulting space, you know, where I get a lot of these calls who say they want to open up a space because they either they have a physical space or they have, you know, money to kind of invest. It's all great till then, but eventually when it comes down to the kitchen, you know, the final product, what they do is they try and emulate or copy other successful concepts in the city. They feel that's a shortcut way of making money, because something has been successful, it's not there in a certain area, so they might as well, you know, try and see if this works. It's funny, but it's not going to work, because A, the talent you have on board, which is usually funny the way they hire chefs, some people, they literally hire them like the last moment, you know, they don't want to invest in a chef earlier on because they feel that why start paying somebody who's going to be in the kitchen, the place is not ready, etc., etc. I feel it's important that the food guy is there, you know, the head of the kitchen is there right from the very beginning. That's the biggest mistake I've seen people make in our food circuit. They are reduced to emulating other concepts. That's why, you know, a culmination of all these elements have resulted in our food space being very contrived and not that different from other people. People are unwilling to try out something new. And when they are trying out something new, the perception in the industry is being that, oh, you know, they're trying too hard, or I don't know if this is going to work, you know, because or whatever. So it's a two-way street. I feel somewhere in the middle, we've kind of stagnated. And I'm hoping that certain concepts which are actually coming up in the city, the smaller ones, this Asian concept restaurant started by Chef Sifa called The Blue in Bandra. She's ex-Four Seasons and she was heading their Thai kitchen out there. And she, along with her husband, has moved on to actually, you know, opening up her own small place. And she's really blown everything apart as far as the generalization of classic Pan-Asian fare is concerned. So it's not sushi, which is costing, you know, 800 rupees for three pieces. It's actually the whole roll, which is about six pieces for anywhere between 350 to 600 rupees, you know, depending on the quality of fish used. She's also kind of dumbed down the cuisine for us and tried and keep it simple as it should be, and not really complicating it with trendy ingredients like, you know, sea bass or whatever. There's also Mask, another concept which started last year, where Chef Pratik and Aditi, you know, who's the owner, they came up with this concept of an ingredient-focused menu, which is a sit-down course concept, which is quite unheard of in the city. It's been doing fantastic because he's using products which are 100% sourced from here, be it the fish, be it the millets, be it the grains, wherever, you know, be it even these finely sourced ingredients from Kashmir or like these lesser travel spaces where it's difficult to reach. And he's been creating magic with this. And I feel these few concepts are really, really changing. So one's more casual, one's more fine dine. So there is so much to do out there. And people are not taking that initiative. These are more concepts I'm actually looking forward to experience. And I feel that there are certain chefs and restaurateurs out there which are aiming to do that.
We are seeing charcoal infusion in food these days, like black color ice cream and black waffles and stuff. Yay or nay?
It's a complete no-no. I don't believe in chemically modifying any foods. And I feel this whole molecular gastronomy thing should be left to the experts. There's just a one-off concept which happens. It's exciting. I'm not dissing it, but everybody's just taken it and kind of completely turned it into this bait which appeals to people and changing their way they kind of create that color change or the elements of changing the whole chemistry of an ingredient. I think we should stick to the usual stuff.
Have you witnessed any weird food fashion lately that has been blindly followed?
Lately, I think the ones which are being blindly followed, yes, is this charcoal infusion. I think the other one is this nitrogen, what you call it, dry ice. In food, if people observe correctly, the dry ice is more for effect, yes, never added into the food. It's always in a different container. Place the food on top of it in another container. If you really, really think how this dry ice concept is used. There was a bar which I went to once, and this guy had a signature cocktail which he made in a tiki glass, and he actually threw the dry ice inside. And if you remember, there was a case in Delhi too where somebody swallowed the dry ice and it burnt the poor person's stomach off. And I don't see why people are not realizing this effect. There has been unnatural uses of ingredients also, which, you know, like food colors, calling something which it is not, and then, you know, having it all out there in the open. Just do real food and do something which they're comfortable doing. Another weird food fashion is obviously this tweaking of the Indian, fusing it with other elements. But I don't think having a black pav bhaji is going to change any perception of what pav bhaji is all about. Just leave pav bhaji the way it is. Why do you want to change the color? That's not fusion.
So what do you think will rule 2018 food scenes?
one of the major introduction in the food scene in 2018. And I'm saying this because not only of my own free will, but I've also been a part of the Flavor Conference, which happened in January, where I was curating a couple of panels with all these experts from around the country. One of the food trends which stood out was the use of ancient grains and millets and pulses which are grown in India. The whole world is going through this whole quinoa phase and these ancient grains like ragi and creating this whole health angle to it. And India has had it forever. It's like ghar ki murgi dal barabar. And we've not really taken interest on it. But now if you see the restaurants and the chefs who are in the city are making it very prominent, it's a great step. I feel it's amazing for our industry, and we should be tapping in to sustainable products available without a lot of carbon footprint. And this is something which I have been propagating since many years too, because I was part of this concept called Shop for Change. We were creating fairer trade for farmers across India, and I have been on grassroots levels visiting small farmers across India and creating fairer trade practices for them and marketing their products. And I realized that we have so much to offer, and yet we don't make use of it due to whatever reason. And I think if we proactively as a food industry come together and make things happen where we are using our own produce correctly, I think there's nothing better than that. And we will kind of shine and not depend on all our food going as exports. So for one of the examples being, if you remember, growing up, we used to have white corn bhuttas. And suddenly in between somewhere, the yellow American corn scene just kind of exploded and everybody wanted this sweet American corn, not realizing that the white one had so much more potential to be flavorful. It was healthier. I think it had a lot of that, you know, the milk which you make amazing porridge from. And I think it was just a great Indian product grown out here. And I heard when I was visiting one of these farms, when some of the farmers said that we stopped growing white corn because there was no demand for it, and we started growing yellow. And suddenly white corn is more of a luxury commodity. Today you go out and eat a bhutta, you will get yellow corn, but if you were to ask for white, it'll be more expensive than the yellow. I mean, why is that? So these things have changed over the years, and we are losing out on all our amazing products which we had hold over. If we were to consciously concentrate on these food scenes coming together and retaining our ingredients and our farmers and our crops and our agricultural practices, there's nothing like it.
That's absolutely true. We wish superpower to the superfood grown in our country. And as a consultant, we want you to educate us who aren't from the field but dream to get into food business. What are the step-by-step guidelines, like from investor hunting to licensing, sourcing, planning, hiring, client hunting, whatever in detail?
Well, I'm more of a creative consultant. I leave the formality aspect like licensing and investor hunting, you know, the operational elements of a restaurant, to an operation head who would be an integral part of the restaurant. If you think about it, you know, restaurant business is all about the execution, the creative part, and then the talent behind the kitchen, and then finally the marketing. While I involve myself in the part where you are creating concepts for people, I'm more on the creative angle, help people in setting up their SOPs, or you know, how their operational elements should work, giving them guidance. Me as a consultant, you have to realize one thing which is very important, is that you're not going to be on board 24/7. Restaurant business needs somebody's complete attention. So one of the few things I tell my clients is you need to be fully involved. If you are not in a position to be fully involved and you're just investing, then it's important that you find somebody who can partner with you on the operations angle. It is also important to partner your chef in this. You know, in this case, some equity to the chef, some equity to the operations guy, who are the two main people who are going to look at the back end and the front end, is very important. So whether you play either of the roles or you play none of the roles, you have to make sure that you have these people close to you and being a part of your project. Me as a consultant, I'm going to come in, I'll create a concept for you, but I'm not going to execute it, right? I'm going to teach somebody to execute it. Say if there's a Chinese concept, you know, we'll find a Chinese chef for him. I may give my recipes, but I'll have to run him through them because he has a different style of making certain recipes. He's learned it in a particular way, and I'm trying to bring that change, right? I'll see how it works. I will make sure that he understands what I'm doing, because in the end, he has to make 300 portions of that. I'm just making like 6. So You're going to set something up and then move away to other projects. And even people from the food industry should understand that. They may sign you up for a year, right? Like they say, okay, you watch us through even while it's open. But you know it's not going to be a full-on thing unless you're making your partner. And I doubt a consultant can be partner for every single, you know, project he takes, because then he'll just be a restaurateur. He won't be a consultant. To a layman who wants to dream of getting into the food business, keep all these things in mind before jumping in and creating this amazing space which you can call your own.
Before we leave, Nikhil, we have heard so much from your friends about your bartending skills, so you have to share a wholly special quick cocktail recipe with our listeners.
Yeah, sure. Would you like to know a cocktail recipe? I've been messing around with some cocktails lately. One of the cocktails I made during Holi, but though we didn't celebrate, but we had friends over who were hanging out with us, it being a holiday, I had thandai paste ready. I kind of infused vodka with it for a few days before Holi, and then double strained it. So the big slightly milky color because of the nuts which were made up part of the thandai mix. And even if you have a thandai bottle at home, you can use that as a syrup. And I basically took vodka, you know, about 60 ml of vodka in a tall glass, and I put some ice and I put some of this thandai syrup in it. In case you're infusing it, then I would leave it infused. But the thandai mix, if you made it fresh, infuse in the vodka and use that instead. And that's again 60 ml. And I shook it up with ice and sweetened it a little bit, because the infusion will not have sugar, but the syrup will. Just poured it over ice and served it with some crushed, you know, almonds, pistachios and some rose petals. And you can do little quirky infusions like these to kind of excite your guests.
Woohoo! So let's get high on this, guys. Thank you so much, Nikhil. Your social media presence anyway gives us a Dakar.
No, thank you for having me on the show. It was fun being on the show. But yes, this is to more food, great experiences around the city. Thanks a lot again, Gitanjali, for having me.
And before I end, last week in Mumbai witnessed a storm of farmers marching for protest. And being this a food podcast, they definitely deserve a mention. It was overwhelming to see Mumbaikers coming on road to serve them tea, biscuit and fruits. On that note, I shall catch you guys soon on Dakar, which is available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Book My Show Jukebox, and well, it's also on the top shows of Saavn this week. If you guys like this episode, do not forget to rate, like, share and review. I'm off to my hometown for this very long weekend, and as always, my vacations are high on seasonal food dose. You can check that out on my Insta stories on my Instagram handle Dakar123. Arey, and before I sign out, did you guys follow that food story of how our former minister Chidambaram was complaining on Twitter about mehengai? Actually, my granddad used to give exact the same dialogue. 200 rupay ki coffee at the airport? Lekin Twitter aati kisi ko nahi bakshte. So to get over this crotching heat, I think my sasta sundar tikau rescue is apna desi sugarcane juice. Time for me to go and have some. I shall see you guys next month.